Okay, let's begin. For today, I want to share with you, I once tried to do this a couple of weeks ago. It did not go off that well then. I want to try one more time because it's the last parasha. Sefer called Oitzar Pilohos Ha Torah. It's a very interesting sefer. They only put out one volume in Mechaber. Its name is Zev Zicherman. Rav Zev Wolf Zicherman. He put out a sefer where it's a collection of midrashim that supposedly you never heard of before. Strange things, unique, plus wonders. As a little bit of a joke, I'll give you a hadama. There's a rav in this neighborhood. It always says it's a pella, a wonder, and then it's half leva fella. So someone asked one of his gaboyim, "What does the rav mean?" Sometimes he says a pella, sometimes he says half leva fella. So I'll tell you what he means. And this was, he said this. This was like a couple of years ago when the Jets won the Super Bowl. So he said, it says, if the Rav would say, Giants.
Just have once.
The Rav, just imagine the Rav coming into Shul and saying, it was a pella that the Giants made it to the Super Bowl. And this that they won? It's Pele Plime.
I like that.
So that's what it means. Pella. So this safe is called the Oitzer Pelo Sator.
I would say that in this year.
I already said it. Why not?
They
are a lot worse things than the Giants. A lot worse things. Kal Shavakal. Okay, let's go to. Okay, so I want to show you a couple of. We went through a couple of these. Are short yiddies. These are not very deep concepts. Just a collection of little short yiddies. I spent a lot of time going to the parish. Just a few little things we have here. Okay, number one is this week we once spent a whole show on sneezing. This week is the makar, the source for this idea, this minhag Yisrael that when someone sneezes, we say gesundheit or marpei. Marpei means healing or asusa. Asusa also is a word in Aramaic, I think it's Aramaic, which means healing. Where does that come from? So it comes from this week's parasha. The Medrash, in this week's parasha, it's asusa. That's not unique to Klal Yisrael. It appears this is a universal custom that when someone sneezes, the response is some expression of may you be healthy. May you live, may you be healthy, you should have good health. Where does this come from? So it comes from, it comes from Yaakov in this week's parasha. It was told to Vahi Achare Hadavon Vayemel Yosef Hine Avicha Chola. The word Hine in the Torah is a very powerful word. Hine means the unexpected. The unexpected. Never would have imagined this would have happened. Yaakov Avinu was the first one that was ill. Until the time of Yaakov Avinu, people would die suddenly, without any warning. There was no such thing as illness. There was no health industry. Obamacare didn't exist. There was no health industry. Oh, I'll tell you a good joke. I'll tell you a very good joke. Someone did research. Obama's not going to like this joke. But someone did research that Obama pardons a turkey every year. Minhag America, the president, he pardons a turkey. They bring a turkey. I saw this on television once. They brought a turkey. He puts his smichas chachamim. He puts his hands on the turkey, and he says, "Machalach, machalach, machalach. You were on the production. You were on the line to be slaughtered. You're going to live." So someone actually went through the effort of doing research. What happened to those turkeys? So it seems, if I'm not mistaken, that they do put them on display in Washington in some park. People can come. Oh, that's the turkey that was pardoned. So what happened to last year's turkey? All the turkeys, they were slaughtered. What happened to last year's turkey? So they did research. It's dead. Why did it die? So that was what happened to 2 years ago's turkey. It also died. Why? So they said it was one turkey died, it just suddenly died. Had a heart attack. Another one was ill, so they put it to sleep. They put it because it was, so how could that be? How you talking? These are good, healthy turkeys. So they explained because these turkeys were fed, were manufactured, they were produced for food, for slaughter. So if you don't slaughter it, if it doesn't do its tachlis, if it doesn't reach its tafkin in life to be killed, to be eaten, it dies because of illness, because it's not, it doesn't eat it, it doesn't eat healthy.
Yeah, turkeys, they can't walk. They can't
try, so that's what happened. So this person said, oh, so that means that when they bomb a pardon the turkey, it wasn't really a pardon. It was a
death
sentence. It was a death squat.
A death sentence.
What's it called there? The commissions? What are
the death panels.
The death panel. It was a death panel. Because by not going and selecting the swing instead of it, it didn't do its tachlis. Until the time of Yaakov Avinu, people did not get ill. People just died on the spot. Yaakov Avinu came along and he was mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not a good idea. It's not proper. A person has to have time to call his family together, to give his last will and testament, to prepare. A person needs time to prepare to see the end, to make preparations for the next world in many different respects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he listened. Hashem was mekabel his tefillah and brought into this world a new thing of illness, of zikna, of choil, of not zikna, but chulsha, weakness, a gradual state of departure. And that's why it says here in the pasuk, vihine. Vihine means the unexpected. This was the Yaakov Avinu was the first person who got ill before he died, and that's why Yosef and Ephraim Menashe had an opportunity to come visit him. Now, until this point in time, how did a person die? So the Medrash says, he quotes here this fascinating Medrash, we won't spend the whole shiur on this, people would sneeze. You give a sneeze, and by sneezing, a person departs. Yatsa Nishmasa through sneezing. That was the Hashkacha. So now when a person sneezes, it's a terrifying experience. Because when a person sneezes, that means that had we been living before the time of Yaakov Avinu, the person would have died on the spot. So now look at that. Person sneezed, and he's still alive. He's still alive. Wow, what a miracle. That's only because of the bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu that a person doesn't, it's a reminder that a person does not just sneeze and dies. Hashem gave mankind a gift where a person gradually leaves this world so he can prepare himself, prepare his family, and so on and so forth. So that's why when a person sneezes, we say you should be healthy. Because it's basically, there are two mahalachim, there are two mahalachim in Mefarshim. What is the purpose of saying marpe, or gesundheit, or asusa? It's either a hoidah, shevach the hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's a bakasha. If a person sneezes, on the one hand, maybe it's a bad sign. I almost could have died. Therefore, I pray to you, Hashem, where everyone joins, we pray, no, live, live, live. We mevakei Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, marpe. The person should be healthy, he should live on. Or, the other approach, sites is, it's shevach the hoidah. We thank you, Hashem, marpe, that the person is going to live, even though he sneezes, he's not going to die. Okay, so this is what happened to, this is what we have by Yaakov. Now let's go to the other new thing I saw here, I don't think I saw before. There used to be a minhag, that the person who sneezes, the person himself who sneezes, it's not done today anymore, but it used to be a seemingly very popular custom that the person himself who sneezes, you don't say gesundheit to yourself, right? You say, someone says, so you say to them, thank you. Someone gives you a bracha. You say, lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. I yearn for your salvation. I yearn lishu'ascha. You sneeze. Someone says to you, asusa. And you say, thank you. And then you say, lishu'ascha. I yearn for you. Why? Basically, it's a birchas ha-goymel. What do you say in a birchas ha-goymel? The person zoicha, a miracle happens. He survives something horrible. He comes to shul and he says, ha-goymel lechayavim tovim shegmolani kol tov. You thank, and then what does the Olam say? Me shogom chokotov, who you go? Gimelucha kol tov selah. Vaita, you should have more salvation. More salvation. Just like you were zeichet to this salvation, part of the Birchas HaGoyimel, the response of the Olam is to say, just like you were zeichet to this salvation, the salvation opened up a tzinar in Shemayim, you should have more siyata Shemayim, more salvation. So therefore, part of the assembly clear who says Lishuasa Kivisi Hashem. Do you say it yourself? Do people say it to you? But it appears that it used to be part of the meaning of saying of Gesundheit is that you also go further, Lishuascha, I yearned for your salvation, Hashem, more. The same way you gave me this salvation, halavai, it should be mamshech, I should have other forms of salvation in my life. That is why it's a good sign. We know that if a person sneezes during Shmona Esrei, we were once discussing, if a person sneezes during Shmona Esrei, it's a siman tov. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Chazal said, why, just like it feels good, when you sneeze, it feels, there's a good feeling, so it's a son in the Shemai, they want to do your rots, and they want to give you what you request in the middle, what you request in Shmona Esrei. Of course, you have to know if it applies to Nazeh, why did the person sneeze? It cannot be because there's dust in the air, the person has a cold, that doesn't mean anything. But also, it shows that it's salvation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that for you, there will be Yeshua, salvation, Lishu'ascha, Kivisi Hashem. What?
It's a sign that you're getting sick.
That's what it says. And if you can attribute the sneeze to a condition in the environment, something which is derech hateva, then it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. But if it's the person is 100% healthy and there's no dust, it's just some hashkacha pratis. Everything, of course, derech hateva, that you bedavka sneeze at this point in time when it's just like a pure chance, that is to some degree a hashkacha pratis. Okay, well now, what about the world? Why is it a universal custom? So there are different opinions about this. It's a universal custom. Why the goyim also sneeze? So some say that this blessing was universal. It wasn't just for Yaakov and his family. This affected the entire world. They recognized the bracha, and they also adopted this custom of giving people bracha when they sneeze. Others say no. They trace the custom of saying gesundheit to about 1,000 years ago. There was some type of plague in the world where people were extremely weak, and if a person would sneeze, they actually would die. People were so weak, there was this dever in the world. If a person would sneeze, it was a sakana, and that's why people on their own began to bless other people. You should be well, you should be healthy, don't panic. You're not going to die, even though we're living in very dangerous times and there are germs and there are all these things, because it appears that it was coming, people would die when they sneeze. Okay, let's go to another idea. Before we go further, one thing that came to mind from last time is fascinating idea that it's impossible to keep your eyes open when you sneeze. It's an amazing thing. And that's hashkach in that. Is hashkach, what does that mean exactly? Kadosh Baruch Hu, sneezing comes through the nose. Vayibach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chayim. When a person sneezes, it's a moment of gilui. It's a moment where your nose is active. When your nose is active, it's vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking back your neshama. And seeing, so you're in contact with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment in time. Lo yirani ha'odam v'chay. At that moment, when you're in contact with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not shaykh for you to be. See, the sight has to go out. So Hashem made is an amazing thing. Eyes cannot be open when you sneeze. Why is that so? How does that work? You have to ask a doctor how that works. But that definitely.
When you're embalmed, they take out your insides through your nostrils. That's how they do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What, trepidation?
That's how it was done. It's still done that way in some.
That's right.
They drag it out through your nose. That's
right.
They always assume that the life force comes through
the nose. That's
why they hack off the nose by
Abu Dhabi. That represents a yibach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Okay, let's go. What?
When you give tablets, you want people to sneeze so that they
should. Could be such a thing. It could be there's such a thing. That sefer called Reach, maybe there's a whole thing on a topic. Everything in the essay is about topic. Okay, let's go to another idea. Vani. Okay, he has a lot about. He has a discussion about giving a bracha. Okay, this is a quick idea. When you give a bracha to your children, do you use one hand or two hands? So Yaakov Avinu, the makar for giving a bracha we learn is from Yaakov gave bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. He only put one hand on each one of the children, one hand on each child. So many want to learn from this, especially the Gra. It's very mock. When you give a person the bracha, you only use one hand.
Because of Kayin.
So why? Two reasons. First of all, we find the way a bracha was given to Ephraim Menashe was with one hand. That's really the Iker. That's where we find a bracha. We don't find the hands being used by the Iker bracha of Yitzchak to Yaakov. It doesn't say there that he put his hands on him. It doesn't say that he put his hands on his head and gave him the brachas. Maybe there's a midrashim, but it doesn't say hands were used. The only place in the Torah where it explicitly says the hands were used was by Ephraim and Menashe, one hand on each. And also, the only one that we find that uses two hands are the Kohanim. So we have no right, a Zor, a Yisrael has no right to abuse the Koyach of Kohanim and use two hands. The grower
was one bracha for Ephraim and Menashe.
It was one bracha for Ephraim Menashe, so two hands. Each one is divided. Okay, you could argue. Okay. So this is just a different meaning. There are different. It's a heated debate. Different Gedolei Yisrael. If you're allowed to use two hands when you give a child or any person by a wedding or Friday night, two hands. The Gro was very makbid not to use two hands, only to use one hand. Other Gedolei Yisrael said no, it's only if you do it b'derech kehanim, only if you say the pasuk yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. If you say the bracha yisim l'kim kefarim l'chum menashe, and you give a bracha to daughters of kesar rachel v'leya and Rivka, then there is no prohibition of using two hands, because you're not an imposter, you're not trying to mimic what the Kohanim do. Okay, let's go different minhagim. There are different minhagim. Some do both ways.
Yeah.
It's also some do. So that's a problem. If you're going to give a recha, so then you're getting into the Gro, you should only use one hand. Also, the whole big issue of giving smich, what?
What if you're a Kohen like he is, can you do it with two hands?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I don't know the answer. It's not begedder. Birchas Kehanim. Birchas Kehanim is only done at certain times. Birchas Kehanim. But it's not being done midin Birchas Kehanim. It's being done. You give a bracha. You're giving a midin Birchas Kehanim. It's only done. Right. So that's the question. Do you use one hand? Go to a photographer. Have him take out his wedding album. Go ask Axelrod when he comes here. He takes pictures by weddings. Go look at the Gedolei Yisrael when they bless their children on the chuppah. Do they use one hand or do they use two hands? There are different customs. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to another idea. Now we find this is just a short idea. We find this. The Yaakov says to Yosef, Ani. I'm giving you Shechem Achad Alachecha Shalakachni Miyad Hamer Biyachabi Vakashti. So what was the Shechem Achad Alachecha, the extra portion? So simply means an extra piece of land. And when the land is going to be divided, you're going to be counted as one of the Shvatim, you're going to be the Chilik in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says that he gave him, just as a Yidia, he gave him the Kosnois Or. The Kosnois Or that was Hashem made for Adam and Chava, was taken by Nimrod, and from Nimrod it went to Esau, from Esau it went to Yaakov. Yaakov now is giving it as a bracha to Yosef. Yosef is the one who, that's what it means, Shechem Achad Alachecha, Asher Lekachti B'Yadim B'Chari B'Kashti, which means to my Maisim Tovim. The truth is, this is a Targum Yonis Ben Uziel. The Targum Yonis Ben Uziel says it refers to the Kosnosar. And there's another interesting interpretation, which is just a simple idea. What's the bracha of Shechem Achad Alachecha? So I saw one of the Farshim, the bracha is that the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh will never come to an end. In other words, we have a bracha that there are 12 Shvatim, and there will always be in Klal Yisrael a remnant, a survivor, a miyuchis from each of the 12 Shvatim. Even though the Aseres HaShvatim have gone into Galus, that's the vast majority. But there were survivors. There were people who joined with Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. And in Klal Yisrael, there's a special bracha, there's a guarantee, a mesorah, there will always be people that have lineage from, can you trace the lineage to each one of the 12 Shvatim. Now, that does not mean, of course, to every single family. Once a family branches off into 10 parts, 20 parts, 30 parts of generations, does not mean every branch of the family is going to survive. It could be a branch of the family will eventually come to disappear. Yaakov gave a tremendous bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. The bracha is that your children, Ephraim and Menashe, we have to remember, ultimately the land was taken away from them. When Mashiach comes, the land is going to be divided into 12 portions. Levi will get a portion of the land, and Ephraim and Menashe are no longer going to get separate portions. Sefer Yechezkel says the favorite, Ephraim and Menashe are only going to share the same portion of Chelek Yosef. So the bracha that was given by Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe, is that bracha of getting a separate portion of the land was only temporary until the coming of Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, it goes back to one Shevet Yosef, and the other portion goes to Shevet Levi, the Kohanim, Levi, they have a portion of the land. However, there was another thing hidden in bracha in this, and that is, Yaakov guarantees Yosef that there will always be a remnant of Ephraim and a remnant of Menashe. That's the Shechem Achad Lachecha Shlotachni. In other words, all of the other Shvatim, let's say Shevet Yehuda has 10 children. Yehuda has 10 children. There's no guarantee that all of Yehuda's children will have, they'll be descendants. It could be 9 of his children will have children, great-grandchildren, but it could be there'll be a war, Yemosan Mashiach, whatever, and one of his children will come to an end. There's a guarantee there'll be a Zecher of Yehuda. Yehuda will always have a descendant. But there's not going to be a guarantee that all of Yehuda's children will have descendants. The bracha that Yaakov gave Yosef is that Ephraim and Manasseh are just like the Shvatim in regard to this prat, that I guarantee there will always be until Mashiach, till the end of days, a descendant of Ephraim and a descendant of Manasseh. Even though when Mashiach comes, they will merge into Shevet Yosef, and they'll share one piece of land, but there will always be a descendant from each one of these Shvatim. Okay, now let's go to another quick idea. In this, we have here, I'm going to try to find some more interesting things. Okay, teeth. Chachlili einayim yoyin. You have to tell me if you have heard of this. Uleben shinayim mechalaf. The bracha, who got this bracha? The first bracha was to Chachlili einayim yoyin uleben shinayim mechalaf.
That's a different one.
Yehuda. Okay, Yehuda's bracha is Chachlili Einayim Miyayin. Okay, they should be red. The more Chachli means to be red. The eye should be more red than wine. Uleben Shinayim, and their teeth should be more white than milk. Beautiful teeth. Okay, beautiful teeth from Shevet Yehuda. What's the bracha? So there is such a tradition. There's such a medrash. I heard this before. This is the quote. Maybe just tell me if you have your input on this medrash. The Jews have 33 teeth, and Goyim have 32 teeth. A Jew has an extra tooth. I once asked this to a dentist. You know, I asked this to Waxel.
Kalman.
He told me no such thing. No such thing. But there is such a medrash. I think I read somewhere there was a guy that used to count their patients' teeth, that if he saw he was an anti-Semite, and if there was an extra tooth, he would not treat that patient. So the guy knew of this medrash. He refused to treat a patient that had an extra tooth because he knew that he was a Jew. There's such a thing. Okay, is it true? Is it not true? Just interesting idea. A Jew has an extra tooth. And that's why they say, now how does that ties into the Rasha of the Haggadah? What do you do to the Rasha? Af ata hake es shinov. Knock out his, now there's a problem, it's plural. Shinov is teeth. Why? Because you're a guy. You're behaving like a guy. We'll make you into a guy. We'll reduce your teeth from 33 to 32. So that is, it ties nicely into the Haggadah, even though it's not grammatically correct, in plural Rabin, but it is definitely an idea. Okay, we also have this pasuk, another interesting idea, that Osher, that a person comes to Shemayim, Achamev Esrim, and he's in trouble, so what he does is, call my lawyers. You come to Shemayim, we got some problems, so open up your history, we got a problem. Call, who's your lawyer? Call Yaakov Avinu, he'll come. Yaakov comes and says, sorry buddy, I can't help you. Call your children. Call Reuven. Reuven comes. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, everyone comes, no one helps. The only one that comes is Menashe. Menashe comes, he's not even one of the Shvat. Menashe comes, and Menashe says, did you learn Mishnayis? So he says, yeah, of course I learned Mishnayis. Come with me. You're okay, you come to Gan Eden. in Menashe has a koyach in Gan Eden to take anyone that learned Mishnayis to take it with him to Gan Eden. That's what it says. So how do you know that? This week's parasha, Menashe is Me'osher, not Menashe, I'm sorry, what did I say? Osher. Me'osher Shmeino Lachmo V'hu Yitein Ma'adane Melech. The word Shmeino is Mishnah. Mishnah.
So is Menashe.
It's Menashe. So it's Menashe also. You're right. It's Menashe. But Shmeino. No, you're right. It's Osios Menashe. May Osher Shmeino Lachmo. Shmeino Osios Mishnah. Mishnah. Okay. Mishnah. Kloimar. And it says in this Medrash Talpiyos, one of these mysterious midrashim, that in the zechus of Menashe, if you learn Mishnayis, he will, because Menashe was very medachnik on Mishnayis. The obvious question is, what are you talking about? There was no Mishnayis until 2,000 years later. So what are you talking about? So this opens up a very interesting topic of discussion, where he goes through many, many Mamorei Chazal. He really did quite a job here, where we find there was Mishnayis in the time of the Avos. Masechta Avodah Zarah. How many parakim were there in Masechta Avodah Zarah? I don't remember. How many? Five? How many parakim were there in Masechta Avodah Zarah of Avraham Avinu? It's a famous chazal. 400. Avraham Avinu had a Masechta Avodah Zarah at 400 parakim. It was lost from us. It says that in time of the Avos, in Masechta Chagiga, Shavihud ben Tema v'chaver b'mishas lo. It says they had Mishnayis of 600 Siddurim. 600 orders, another version, 700 orders of Mishnayis. In other words, the other Mamar Chazal, I don't have all in front of me, but basically it appears at the time of the Avos, these Midrashim seem to indicate they had Torah. They memorized Mishnayis. It's not the Mishnayis we have today, but they had Halachos. They had halachas, they had traditions of what, of how to follow, to live, and it was divided into different orders, and we have all different types of orders, Mishnayis. This goes back to the time, and the biggest bucket, the biggest expert of Mishnayis was none other than Osher. And Osher, he was the expert on all these ancient Mishnayis that preceded the Mishnayis of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and that's why if someone knows Mishnayis, he's going to help out. That's who he did, Ma'adane Osiyos Eden. Gan Madane Osher is Madane Osher. He will take the person into Eden. Person who learns in Mishnayis will be at his assistance. Now let's come to something very interesting. Come to Binyamin. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. So everyone knows this strange Medrash, the Shmerish Pulia, that Binyamin, Yaakov did not want to send Binyamin with the brothers to Mitzrayim because he was afraid that he would turn into a wolf. Binyamin turned into a werewolf. He had some type of choli that, when he gets upset, it's very delicate. If you get him upset, he would actually turn into a wolf. Legs, grew a tail, it says in the Medrash. And he had legs, where is this Medrash? Of,
you don't know it?
You never heard this?
But I haven't seen it.
This you've heard, right? This is a more popular medrash. They turned it. It says Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof.
Grim's
that. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. Abaki Yechal Ad Ulevi Chalek Shalal. Beferish Rabbeinu Ephraim, Kosav Devarim, Piliploim. Piliploim. She'elohim Havona, Alderach Hapshat. She'mavar Masha Kosav Betabiyam Zevidrav, Ein Moshel Ba'al, it's not a Moshel, El Shaliitim Hoya Be'emes, Nishapech Lizeev. A Rishain. Rabbeinu Ephraim is one of the Rishainim. Kuf Chav Gimel on the bottom, it's Kuf Chav Gimel is Re'ei Toldoisa B'le'el Parashas Breishas. He's one of the Rishainim, Rabbeinu Ephraim. And he has some type of source. Now, where does it come from? Also, it comes from these different types of gematria systems. One of the gematria systems is where you interchange each letter. No, everyone knows the Atbash. We interchange the first letter with the last letter. There's another gematria system where you interchange the first letter with the middle letter. So what is Aleph interchanged with? With a Lamed. No, the middle letter is Lamed. What's Beis interchanged with? A Mem. What's gimel interchange with the nun? Now take the word ze'ev and do the math. Zayin is the seventh letter. The seventh letter from the letter lamed is tzadi. Okay, the aleph is interchange with is lamed, and the bay is interchange with mem, which gives us tzelem. So this is what he says. This is ayin ma'ashavesi b'shmo le'el b'pasim b'vil k'mesel b'tzalmo. Tzelem, that when Hashem created Adam, why did he turn into a wolf? Because a wolf is according to this Kabbalistic understanding, based on this gematria, is the closest thing to man. We think of a monkey as being close to a man. Hashem created man, b'tzelem, Adam is b'tzelem Elokim. Tzelem, in this gematria system, is a ze'ev. So there's something to a ze'ev that borders upon the tzelem Elokim. Monkey looks like man. Monkey is a monkey. Is a kaif. There's no intelligence. I'm just throwing out. The reason why I'm picking this is very frightening to me.
But they don't retain it. In other words, they don't pass it on. To the next generation monkeys. They are problem solvers.
Yeah.
They show it. They definitive proof. I mean, you could see the films.
Yeah, they use.
They show. Right. They figure things out and work.
But they don't pass it on.
They work together. In other words, they could elicit a fellow monkey to help him because he can't do something himself. That it'll help him, you know, pull something from the other end that they can't get it. It's amazing what.
But they can't say they can't pass it on to the next.
Very smart. His son is just the stupid one. The monkey's child is stupid when he's born, unless.
But you can't pass on the chokhmah.
Yeah, it doesn't pass.
Fascinating. Okay. But there's something to a wolf. I don't know. Study. Go online and study the nature of a wolf. A wolf in Chazal is associated with this very scary word. The word tselem is a very powerful word. Adam is never but tselem Elohim. We give cover to a goy. A goy is tselem Elohim, the image of God. Tselem is associated to some degree with the word ze'ev, a wolf. Binyamin has some degree. We know Binyamin was the chosen of all the Shvatim. The Mikdash is built in his portion. The base Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Kisef of Shachin. The tselem Elohim. Tselem, there's something about a wolf. There has to be more study. What exactly is it now? The reason why I'm telling you this is because this was very frightening. But I'm about to tell you that it was very frightening when I saw this. It just hit me. I don't know if what I'm saying has any significance. The Gedolei Yisrael, I'm not sure who says this. I think of Schwab. Why was it that throughout the generations we always suffered this ridiculous bilble of blood libels? Blood libels. Whole generation of blood libels still going on today. They're still living to the Adiyam Azeh. Jews are going to go and slaughter a guy to take some of his blood and put it in the matzah and eat the matzah. It's the biggest shtus, the biggest nonsense. And yet, the guy may believe this. There's nothing you can do to tell them that it's not true. Where does it come from? What's the need to connect? Where does the sherish of a guy making up such a mishagas come from? So I think if Shimon Schwab said, it's maybe if not him, it was another girl, it's Mida connected Mida for what the brothers did to Yosef. They dipped his kesoines in blood. They dipped it in blood, so Mida connected Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this mishigas in the minds of the goyim, that Jews, they like blood, and that's why we suffer all these generations of the blood libels. I was reading this yesterday, last night, and it says here, this really shook me up. He brings down this thing, the Oysam B'nei Adam, those people that turn into wolves. There's some type of disease. Sounds like some science fiction movie, but it seems like there was something to it, that people turn into wolves. They turn into wolves. The oisam bnei adam shemeshtanim lizeev nivru, they were created mishesh mebreishis, whatever that means. The ein choizrin likadmusan, they don't turn back into man. Ad sheoichlim dam adam oy isha, they need blood. They need to eat blood. So it appears, such a medrash, such a chazal, it appears that perhaps part of this crazy idea is Binyamin is a ze'ev yitraf. Binyamin is the bechir. He was the only one that did not participate in the bechir asyaisif. He was the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael. He's a part of the base which was built. Binyamin says a lot for Klal Yisrael. Binyamin really speaks volumes for Klal Yisrael. Binyamin was a Ze'ev Yitraf. And there's such a machala that a Ze'ev, the refuah for the Ze'ev Yitraf, is Dam. And perhaps that, I'm just throwing out an idea, perhaps this somehow was known by the Goyim that there's such a concept. And perhaps that's how they had the ability to have some friction, some ability to go and develop this blood libel that you, Jews need to eat blood to survive. Okay, that's just that. One last thing, the end of the parasha is, the minhag is to write the name on a matzeva. Why? Where does it come from, a matzeva, write a name? It's one thing, all it says by Yaakov, when Rachel died, he put up a matzeva, a stone. You have to write the name also. You have to go write the name and etch the name in lead and a nusach. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? You have to mark the grave. I know where the grave is. I'll come there. There's a stone. I know where it is. You have to mark for all generations. You have to put a person's name. And doesn't say that in the Torah. So there's a very interesting remez how you know you have to write a name on a matzeva. The very end, Vayasem, the last pasuk is Zayas Masa B'Mitzrayim. They buried Yosef. They put him in an Oron B'Mitzrayim. The Eileh Shemos B'nei Yisrael. And then we go into the next Chumash Shemos. So when a person is put in an Oron Kavura and he's buried, the remez is you have to make sure the name is on the Oron. The Oron, meaning in this case the Matseva, which serves as the burial place of the person, the name should be marked as not just the Zecher that he's here, but also his name.